Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, we got a full house today. I'm here with Marina Shafir. Jake Ellenberger is back. First time in like 3 months.
I'm back.
Hashtag where's Jake been?
Yes.
It's been like a year.
It's been a long time, man.
It's been a while.
How are you?
I'm good, man. It's been busy. I've been traveling a little bit. Spent his time with the family, but I've been good.
So you family?
Yeah, they're good. I was back home with my brother and his daughters for a little while, and he had fought in Phoenix. But they're good. Everyone's good.
I was at that fight with your brother and your family. Mm-hmm. Now I was talking about on the show that your brother's. It's really hard for your brother as a in general, but as a fighter, because his blood pressure goes up and down, right? Or his blood count, like, isn't it? Doesn't have. He's got a disease where like he could like get tired some weeks just because of what he has, right?
Well, yeah, it is. It's a very unpredictable bone marrow disease that he has. But, you know, the problem with him is his style. Even in wrestling, he was such an attack style, like a very aggressive and, you know what I mean? And it's different. You know, in MMA, it's from what I've noticed, too, like when you compete at the higher level, like it's hard to really just completely be that same style for 15 minutes compared to like a 7-minute wrestling match, you know. But he just gotta, you know, pick and choose when he goes hard, is if that makes sense. Not just completely go, so where it's like you can get through, you know, one or two good rounds and you know, be
it seemed like he was tired his last fight. But was it, you think it was a cardio problem due to training or due to the fact that he has that disease?
No, a little bit with scheduling and training. I mean, he's, you know, he's so busy. He works full time. He's got two daughters. He overbooks himself, which he likes. He's finding places to train. I mean, he could definitely, you know, focus more time on strength conditioning. But you know, I would definitely say it's more of a scheduling thing right now. But
right, keep on.
But yeah, no, he's doing well. He's excited to get back into training and you know, kind of figure out what he can do better.
Now, as far as you, and you got a big fight coming up against Josh Koscheck, UFC 184. Mm. What do you think went wrong as far as the Kelvin fight? What are you going to do differently? Tell me, as far as like what's your plan? Talk to us.
You know, to be, I don't even know where to begin, but you know, with the Kelvin fight, it's always, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, I feel like, especially with that, the wrestling mentality. I mean, I think I was focusing so much on my striking and footwork and stuff like that going into the fight. You know, for me, it was an error. I paused. I took a break and I paid for it. You know, it's one of those things. You know, the thing with the sport is you know, the better guy doesn't always win. And you know, Kelvin's a tough. He's a tough kid. You know what I mean? He got me. So it's. You know, it's definitely frustrating. I mean, you know, my problem too is I had checked out of the first round already by the time he had my back. I mean, I heard when there was 30 seconds and there was 20 seconds. And, you know, so for me, I'm already thinking about the second round, you know, strategy-wise, this and that. And that was my mistake. It was more of a...
Were you getting hit in the back of the head a little bit and sort of like complaining to the ref and then
doing that? Yeah, you know, there was a couple in the back of the head, but, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? You can't really... I'm not going to say... You know, specific things or why something happened, but for me it was a mental error. You know, checking out of the first round and thinking about the second. But yeah, that was that.
It seems like, and I'm not like, you know, I'm a comedian. Okay, so I'm not a striking coach. I'm not a fight expert by any means. But it seemed like your striking had gotten better for boxing. Like you were just showing like really fast, good head movement. But you weren't showing like the old Jake Ellenberger crazy looping punches, mm-hmm. but that sometimes are more effective because they maybe don't land as much, but when they do land, they knock fuckers out. Mm-hmm. Whereas you were landing more strikes, but they weren't as hard. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, for me too, I know myself so well, and you know, I've been fighting for 10 years. It's like, I got to stop. I sometimes overanalyze. I overthink too much, and that's just, I think the older I get, you know, the smarter I try to be when I train and when I fight. And it's like, I just think too much. You know what I mean? When I was younger and I was 20, it was like, you didn't care. It was like, I'm going to hurt this guy. You know what I mean? There was no thinking involved. So, you know, I think it's just kind of, paralysis by analysis. You know, that's what Mark Munoz would say, but, just overthinking a little bit.
Now, do you think that, you're in Mexico. Your beautiful girlfriend's with you that night. Are you one of those guys? You like, you got your head down. You're pissed off. You're just like, I can't be around. Or is your girlfriend with you? And she's like, listen, you know, you lost a fight, but you're still my champ. And just gobble gobble. I mean, is that what talk to me?
I don't
gobble
know.
Gobble. Like, really?
That's what girls do. Gobble gobble. You know, like,
how do you have like a moment? You fuck every moment up. Like, you're having like a real heart-to-heart moment here, and then you're just like, you know, and then your girlfriend is just like, gobble gobble.
No, this, people want to know this stuff.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's
defending. I mean, this is what the fans want to know. So, I mean, your girlfriend's smoking hot. She was like, Jake, just lie down and let me take care of you. Is that what happened?
No, that's not really what happened. No, I mean, going back, let's rewind a little. I'm not going to dwell on the fight. It's like, I heard a lot from, you know, some from my coaches back from in Nebraska. Cause it's like for me taking a break and like pausing like I did, it was frustrating because I've never been like that. So it's more of a, you know, the wrestling mentality. It was kind of like, I heard it from a few different coaches. I heard it from my brother, but it's kind of like, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and look in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's time to move forward. But, yeah, and I'm not going to go into depression for a couple months and, you know, not talk to anybody. That's not what it was, but it's, you know, for me, I get pissed off and want to move forward, want to erase that, you know?
Yeah. You fucking text me going, hey, Adam, I'm in a really bad place right now. Things. And then I hit him back. Like, are you, he goes, something really bad might happen. I go, well, are you okay, dude? And you're like, just kidding. Ha ha. I was like, you fucking asshole. That was like, I was like, you scared the shit out of me. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Got your
humor.
That's hysterical. I know. Awful. Awful humor.
I shouldn't joke about that, Adam. I apologize, but it was funny.
It was funny. I was just like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, dude, it's not that serious, man. Don't worry about it. Like,
no, come on, man. My life is great. I have a lot of great things. But yeah, no, I love to compete. I hate to lose more than I like to win. I hate to lose.
Fucking hate to lose.
It is. It's more of like,
fuck that.
The competitive, you know, OCD personality. You know what I mean? It's not like, fuck, you just want to...
You could win 5 times, but you lose once.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly.
That shit. So you were... I was worried for a second. I'm like, I hope he doesn't get cut. I really hope he doesn't get cut, you know, because people get cut after 2 losses. It happens before. Mm-hmm. You know, people get cut for 1 loss. And I'm just like, fuck. I was so happy to hear...
I've seen people get cut off a win.
Who?
I've seen people, like, this was years ago. I got to think of who it is. But I know there was somebody... Because I was talking to somebody about that, and it reminded me of... I can't remember his name, but somebody got cut after winning.
Really? Was it because they were chewing on the air into the microphone? Is that why they got cut?
Maybe.
No, yeah. I
still have my candy on here. Can I get it?
It's Marina's fault.
Yes. No. I was like really nervous. I was like, I really hope they don't cut Jake. I don't want to see him. No, no offense to Bellator or World Series Fighting, but I'm like, fuck. Oh, because then you have to go back up and this and that. So, but I was so happy to get here. You got another fight against Josh Koscheck, which... And it's just kind of like a fight where this is like a must win. This is right. Are you putting extra pressure on yourself or you're not?
No. I mean, even going back, like I talked to Dana for a while after the fight. You know, he's the good thing about he's a very straightforward guy. You know, and if he likes you, he likes you. You're gonna know it. And if he doesn't like you, you know what I mean? There's no secrets with Dana. So, you know, fortunately he does like me. So, yeah, I don't want any time off. You know, that's kind of what. That's kind of hurt me in the past too. I had a year off and then I fought Rory. It's like,
fuck. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's tough to take time out. And I was like, I want to get in there as soon as possible. And so, like, I think they came with the Kostrick fight like a week or two later. So I was like, of course, I wanted to fight him, you know, for a while now.
I think this is exactly what you need. Mm. It's exactly how it's supposed to happen. You're gonna come up.
Now, Josh has powerful right hand. He's got great wrestling. Are you training over at Rain? You going back to GFC? You going to Kings? Are you joining the Alpha Male? What's going on here?
I'm not joining the Alpha Male. No. Yeah, I am still training at Rain. Mark Munoz, he's also fighting the card too. But yeah, for me, it's just getting in that mindset, not stopping too. Like I said, more MMA sparring. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? You make a mistake, you don't need to reinvent anything. I think Edmund's an amazing trainer. I think all the people that I'm working with are still, you know, they're still the right people. It's like, there's not, big changes don't need to be made. So for me, it's just more MMA sparring, not stopping.
Good, mm-hmm. Good. I can't wait. Now, we got two great guests on today. We have Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom. He's 9-1. He's got a big fight coming up, UFC's Fight Night 60 out of Colorado, and Ruthless Rudy Morales, who is fighting on the World Series of Fighting January 17th. We got both those guys coming on. We're going to talk to them, and then we're going to get back. We're going to break down some 182. We're going to talk about Marina and her boyfriend.
No.
Okay, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about a couple things. There's rumors the Ultimate Fighter is going to be the Black Zillions versus American Top Team. That came out today on the Underground, mm-hmm. Which is going to air on Fight Pass. We're going to see if DJ knows anything about that, being he's
It'll be on Fox Sports 1.
Fox Sports 1. Okay, breaking news. It's going to be on Fox Sports 1. We're going to talk about that. We got a lot of things to talk about. We got who else? We got Donald Cerrone.
I'm not confirming your rumors. I'm just saying it'll be airing on
Fox Sports 1. Fighting Ben Henderson. So yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. So the Miles Jury fight, we got Tim Sylvia retiring because he weighed 374.
Really?
Yeah.
374 pounds.
Yes. Yeah, so they wouldn't let him fight.
Wow.
374, which he looked 370 to his credit. So yeah, we got a lot of things going on. So
I
let's
can't wait.
Let's talk to Kevin and Rudy and keep listening. Hey, you're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. Kevin Lee, it's me, Jake Ellenberger, Marina Shafir. How are you?
What's up, Kevin?
I'm good. What's up?
What's up? So Kevin Lee, people don't know this, he's 9-1 as a pro. Even that one fight you lost to Al Iaquinta, I watched it again last night. Very close fight. Very, very close fight. How hurt were you in
that? It is what it is.
How hurt were you in that first round, by the way?
Of the Iaquinta fight?
Yeah.
You know, I think he just more so caught me cold than anything, you know. I'm going to get it back. I shook it off, but, you know, it is what it is. It happens, so, you know, I'm just going to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well, you came back in the second.
He caught me right off the gate. He caught me cold, and that's about it.
Yeah, now Kevin came to my show last week. Good-looking guy. I could see he gets a lot of chicks.
You're 22?
And you get a lot of chicks?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you just banging lots of girls in Vegas right now?
Get married, actually.
You get married?
Yeah, no, I'm about to get married in August.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm a giant, you know, I'm a pussy. I don't really go out and do anything else besides train and go back home. That's it. I'm fucking boring as hell.
now who's this girl? Now, how long have you had this girlfriend for? Or fiance now?
Since high school. You know,
wow.
A high school sweetheart type deal. You know, so we're gonna get married out here in Vegas in August. I don't really fuck around too much.
Nice, too much. That's good. Now I was actually
too much. On record.
Now I was looking at now you were 10-0 as an amateur, and then 7-0 mm-hmm. as a pro before your first loss, and so now you're 19-0. Now your first fight, amateur fight, you said you took with no experience. You never fought before. And just signed up for an amateur fight and won, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much how I went.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, I'm used to fighting, you know, I'm from Detroit, you know, so I'm used to fighting anyway. So, you know, my first MMA fight, I was going to do it. You know, I watched a bunch of shit on TV and I wrestled mm-hmm. and stuff, so I was going to do it.
Did you get a lot of fights growing up?
Yeah, you know, here and there. I was always a light-skinned kid, so, you know, they always picked on me, and, you know, so... I had to defend myself a lot. But, you know, I was never one to pick the fight, but I'd always stop it, you know.
Did you come from a rough area in Detroit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm from Joy Road in Evergreen. So it's like the heart of Detroit, you know. It's the worst of the worst, really.
Nice. But now, did like wrestling keep you out of trouble?
Yeah. You know, I'm fortunate that I had the parents that I had, because they took me to, you know, we caught like 3 or 4 buses each day to take me out to one of the schools in the suburbs, and they had wrestling, because, you know, none of the schools around where I live, you know, they didn't have anything. They didn't have the funds for wrestling or anything like that. So I was fortunate enough that they kept me in, you know, they started me. I started wrestling when I was 15, so 15, 16 years old. So that's what kept me out of trouble and you know, kept me on the right path.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're killing it right now, actually. But then recently, yesterday you tweeted, I had a lady earlier tell me to watch my language on Facebook because I'm a role model. Raise your own damn kids.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's the way I feel.
Hello.
I'm not no role model to nobody. I mean, I'm young enough to be her son. You know, I'm not no. You know, I have like grown men tell me, you know, that I'm a role model for them, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you know, I'm a professional fighter. I'm not a find a cop to be a role model. You know, find a teacher or something. You know, somebody does something nice with it all. I fucking fight people. I'm not a role model.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, but don't you think in a way, like, so these young wrestlers that are, like, looking up to you and, like, hey, one day I could be like Kevin Lee, do you feel like you have any kind of responsibility to, like, at least not getting, like, arrested for domestic battery or, you know, get arrested for murder?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm going to be, you know, the way I see it, I'm going to be me regardless, you know? And most of those wrestlers, they're dicks anyway. I mean, those little kids are dicks. Like, that's why they wrestle. You know, in order to be, like, really good, like, most of the wrestlers I grew up, you know, because I started at 15, they were all dicks anyway. So, you know, they're used to it. And me saying a couple of bad words here and there, I mean, the lady, she probably cusses more than me. So,
yeah, that's true.
I don't care too much.
Well, I mean,
and the only reason why I was saying it was because of the whole John Jones thing, you know, how he puts on the persona and stuff like that. And, you know, I just think that it's stupid. Like, you know, you should just be who you are and, you know, people, you know, fuck them. If they don't like it, then whatever.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. I think people, you know, I agree. I mean, it is nice when a fighter goes out of his way to be to do the right thing. But if that's not the guy who the guy is, and you know,
it's not really even about doing the right thing. It's, you know, some fighters like to do charity work.
Yeah.
Some fighters have time to do charity work. Other fighters don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably an idea that's crossed their mind, but they just don't have the time, and their priorities are not for that right now.
Do you do charity work?
Exactly.
I actually am going to be doing some charity work.
I heard you and Rhonda have a judo club that you guys actually, Rhonda sponsors a whole judo team for, like, for kids.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, she does. And I'm actually going to, I think I'm teaching some high school chicks some self-defense with judo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, like, it's just things like that, but that's probably going to be, like, the only thing I'm going to get to this year.
That's awesome. Who knows?
I mean, shit like that. I mean, I think that's all that stuff is, like, you know, really good for not only for, like, one person, but, you know, it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny.
But you don't have to put on the front for it, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's the only part I don't like, you know?
It's funny, too, how many people get all bent out of shape, like on Facebook, for example, like, because my brother cusses all the time, and some guys were always, like, just talking, you shouldn't talk like that. And it's like, don't follow me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I, with Kevin too. It's like, don't be friends on Facebook.
I know.
You know
don't
mean?
Follow me. Exactly.
He's gonna be himself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I like that.
I put up a picture of a vagina rock. How many followers do you think I lost? None. How many do you think I gained? A couple hundred.
But your tweets with Angela Magana, though.
That was funny.
Your tweets with Angela Magana were, like, priceless, by the way.
Angela Magana?
The girl.
Oh, that tough girl.
Yeah, that was.
Wait, what were you tweeting with her?
Yeah,
what was going on?
She was a clown, though. It's funny.
They were just going at it on Twitter, and I was just laughing my ass off. It was really
about what?
Well, she was just posting.
She's crazy?
Yes, she was posting naked pictures of herself and this and that, and then Kevin
she's
Lee.
She's just, like, fucking crazy. She's just a clown, you know? Like shit like that, like, you know.
That's the best way to describe it.
You know, I don't really get too much into the social media shit anyway. I said I was going to start in 2015, but I still don't, you know, because, you know, I just think a lot of the people on there are just like fucking clowns, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're always like, everybody thinks, it's kind of a thing where everybody thinks they're funny, you know, everybody thinks they're this, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I don't get too sucked into it, you know? And she was, you know, spewing all this stuff. She was going all back and forth.
It is her life.
Yeah.
She had actually
said something about John Alessio. So that's when I kind of got into it.
Yeah, her, John Alessio, and Kevin Lee were going at it. And it was it was very entertaining. And then after she lost, Kevin Lee was like, can someone please post that picture of her fight? And I was just like, oh.
And then she got her ass whooped, too. She just didn't lose. Like, she should have spent more time in the gym than fucking on Twitter, huh?
Yeah, I think a lot of fighters get confused by that. They, you know, a lot of times people get confused that, like, okay, we're not paying to see you tweet. You know, we're paying to see you guys fight. You know, so that's, you know. So, I mean, what do you think about the whole CM Punk thing, by the way?
Me?
Yeah.
Honestly, I was thinking about it a couple of days. I don't even know who the dude is, to be honest. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know who he was when they signed him. I mean, they said, from what I hear, he's a wrestler or whatever. But, you know, I think it's kind of, I think it's stupid. Like, they should at least find an athlete, you know? Like, just because the dude, you know, I think professional wrestling is whatever. But it's not competition, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just because you're athletic doesn't mean you're an athlete, you know? Just the same way that, like, guys on Twitter and, you know, Instagram and stuff like that, they're funny, but they're not comedians, you know what I mean?
Right, so, exactly.
Oh, everybody on Twitter is a comedian.
I think if anybody, even if they would have signed like any, like a, you know, like a football star, like anybody else, like, you know, I wouldn't have such a big problem with it, but I honestly don't care too much, you know, as long as I don't open foot him up.
Now, what would happen, I mean, what do you think would happen if you fought him first?
If I fought him first?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it wouldn't be fair, you know, they wouldn't. I'm a realist for one, so I know the UFC wouldn't even do that. You know, they would lose. You know, I'm not that big a name in MMA anyway. So I mean, they would lose CM Punk to me, like, easily. I mean, I would blow him out. Like, it wouldn't even be fair. You know, so I wouldn't even think about it.
Apparently,
you know? I wouldn't even take the fight.
Yeah, I guess he gave Pettis a black eye at Rufus Sport.
It could have been him or the other four guys he was training with.
Yeah, somebody gave Pettis a black eye. Now, who, Kevin, do you want to fight next?
I'm fighting right now. I'm fighting right. Michel Prezeris.
Yes, right. That's
he's a Brazilian. He's like 18-1. You know, a little short Brazilian, you know.
Right, at UFC 60.
Yeah, but we're scheduled for February 14th.
Right.
On that Colorado card.
So being a Brazilian, I mean, what you're training over at Drysdale?
Yeah, I'm training a lot at Drysdale and doing a lot over at Extreme too, getting a lot of anti-clinch work and stuff like that. I know all he's gonna do is try to take me down, but I don't think he's ever fought a wrestler like me. So, you know, I'm just gonna train the way I've been training. That's it. Nothing too specific, you know what I mean?
And then, how do you like Robert Drysdale? I trained with him a while back.
Dude, you know, Rob is one of the best technical jiu-jitsu coaches. You know, forget everything else. Like, he's really good at, and, you know, I started as a wrestler, so, you know, some jiu-jitsu coaches don't really get that style, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's really open. Like, he always, you know, is thinking of new stuff. He really molds his game around my game, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll show me stuff that'll work for me. And it's really, I think it's really hard to find that in a straight. Some jiu-jitsu guys, they get, you know, I feel, especially on like the Brazilians and stuff, like they get arrogant about it. You know, they're like, oh, jiu-jitsu is like the only way, you know, this is, you know, this is what works. Mm-hmm. Jiu-jitsu, you got good jiu-jitsu, you're going to win, you know, but Rob isn't like that at all. You know, Rob, he uses wrestling, he uses jiu-jitsu, he uses whatever he can find, you know, whatever works is what he shows. So that's why I like him so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. Why does he keep getting popped for testosterone? I mean, the guy's I would love to see him actually fight. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I like his, you know, I go for his technical work, you know. He's one of the best technicians in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I don't know. You know, I ain't even ever asked him before because what he does is what he does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And then you also go to Roy Jones's gym, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where I'm at right now, actually. I'm in the bathroom.
How's that going?
I just got done sparring.
You were sparring with Gray Maynard, right?
Actually, I'm gonna spar with Gray at four. I was sparring with Jimmy Bacuzza. He's fighting on World Series next week, so I gave him a few rounds to get ready. And then they had one of the Mayweather boxers up here too that I sparred with. So
nice.
Those two guys.
Nice. Well, you're doing great, man. I mean, just keep it up. We gotta get you more popular. We gotta get you more.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 9'1". You're good looking guy. I see that I see that social media. You're actually calling people out now on social media, which I think is probably a good and a bad thing, but it's definitely going to get your like name out there. Like, I remember during the Cerrone fight, you said you weren't impressed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a boring ass fight, and they both looked like shit to me. They both didn't look good. I mean, like I said, in 2015, you know, I don't do the whole New Year resolution thing, whatever, but, you know, I was going to start being a little more active on social media a little more. You know, that was one of my goals. So I'm going to try at least. But no, I wasn't impressed with the Cerrone fight at all. I wasn't impressed with either one of them.
How do you think it would go between you and Donald?
With me and Donald, I think it would be a good fight. You know, he said he wanted to fight on a Colorado card. I was going to kick Prezeris to the curb and throw me and Donald in there, you know. So I thought it would have been a great fight. I thought I would have his ass. But, you know, he took that. Which, fucking hats off to him for taking that fight with Ben on such short notice.
So you think you'd whoop Cerrone's ass? How do you think you'd do against Nate Diaz?
Against Diaz?
Yeah.
I mean, I was never a fan of Diaz. You know, I don't know. I don't get the thing with the Diaz brothers, especially with like MMA fans and stuff. Like, I don't think they're that good. You know, like, I think they're slow. They're, you know, I don't know. I just don't think they're good. They're like, you know, they talk a good game, but, you know, and most MMA fans think they're like gangsters or something. Like, you know, I don't know. I never heard of no white boys from California being gangsters. You know, that they don't fucking intimidate me. So, you know, whatever they do is what they do. But, you know, I think I'd murder Diaz.
You think you'd murder Nate Diaz? Okay. And what about Khabib?
Khabib? I think Khabib's more. I mean, just speaking from a fan standpoint, not even so much from a fighter. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think he's kind of boring.
Why do you think he's boring?
I don't know. I think he's sloppy in his stand up, and you know, he's got those. I mean, his takedowns are fucking. I'll give it to him. Like his positional control is really good, but like, you know, he doesn't do much with it. You know, he doesn't. You know, like when he fought Abel Trujillo. I mean, he got, like, he just kept picking him up, Matt Return. It's like, you know, go to something else now, all right? We know that you can do that. All right, now what? You know, that's the only reason why I think he's boring. Like, if it was me, you know, I would try and expand my game a little bit. But, you know, if he likes one thing and he sticks to it, whatever, more power to him. But I don't think he'll be a champ in the division.
Now, how do you think you would do against Tony Ferguson?
Tony's my boy. Tony's my boy, actually. We went to the same, you know, when I wrestled for Grand Valley State, so we wrestled for the same school. So Tony's my boy. I don't even think we'd get in there. But if we did and we had to, you know, I'd take him out. I don't know. I think I'd take on anyone in the division. You know, I really don't care. You know, I'll take on any of them. I think I got the skills. I can wrestle with the wrestlers. I can strike with the strikers. So I'm really not nervous about taking on any of them.
Well, you heard it. Kevin Lee, he's hungry.
Yeah,
he's 23 years old. He's hungry. He wants
22.
It. 22.
I'll be 23 in September.
22 years old. He's hungry. Yeah. He's getting married soon. So
don't make me older than I am already.
Yeah. He's getting married, so there's no distracted by pussy and side chicks. The kid's got it. He came to my show last week. Thank you, by the way, for coming to my show. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you're funny as hell. It was a great show.
Thanks, kid. Thank you.
It was a great show.
Thank you. Well,
you and T-Rex, both funny as hell.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, we'd love to have you back on the show. I love the fact that this kid wants to fight. He's not he's not afraid of anybody. So where can people find you?
At Motown Phenom, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's Motown Phenom.
Motown.
So, you know, I am going to try and be a little more active. So, you know, usually I don't really fuck with it too much. But now, you know. Well, hopefully, I think it's kind of important too.
Well, hopefully this podcast.
You know
helps.
Why? Because my little brother is on there too, and he's got like 20,000 followers or something like that, and I'm floating around with like 5,000. He ain't did shit, so you know I'm gonna get my followers up a little bit.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Kevin, and I would love to have you back on.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Take care. Rudy Morales.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Oh, man, I feel so honored. Even my English got better all of a sudden.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. You're here with Jake Ellenberger and Marina Shafir.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, you're on the main card, World Series of Fighting against Brad.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know exactly how that happened. I guess I must have done a good impression with somebody right there at World Series.
That's great, man. And then, you're fighting one of the Hansen brothers who trains out of Extreme Couture.
Am I?
Bryson Hansen. Uh-oh. Have you ever trained with him before?
I think we sparred once a long time ago, but it was very like sparring, anything like that, but nothing serious. But I'm well aware of who he is and, you know, what his background is. So I think most likely we're possibly going to get fight of the night that night.
Nice. Now I was looking through some of your things. Now you grew up in Guatemala with machetes and knives everywhere.
Yeah, bro, that shit was hardcore, as real as it gets. You know, when I was 8 years old, I witnessed for the first time somebody being murdered right on my doorstep. So I was going to train karate. Yep.
Wow.
So that was pretty hardcore. So in all technicality, there's nothing that really surprises me or scares me when it comes to, you know, hand to hand combat. Because I actually seen it live, so now I'm very fortunate to do MMA.
So wait, so you're walking outside, you're 8 years old to go to school, and some guy just gets murdered on your front door, right in front of you?
Yeah. Somebody, one guy was holding him on his knees with their hands tied on behind his back, and as I was walking with my karate gi, they just ripped him. You know, they just opened up his old guts right in front of me, and
no.
I was the last person that he saw. He looked at me and he drawn in his own blood. And what's more crazy about it, Adam, is that I was just so shocked that I could see the bubbles, you know, coming out of the blood when he was trying to breathe. But I seen him, and instead of me running and scared, I just went to training. I just ran. I was like, okay.
Wow.
Damn. So, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I guess after I start making some money and possibly make it to the UFC, I'm going to get some serious therapy.
Oh, my fucking God.
Wait, so that's how you grew up? I mean, there was gangs everywhere, machetes, people fighting everywhere?
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody at that time, Adam, was so poor that, I mean, it was cutthroat, you know, it's just machetes or your house knife, you know, and, you know, people were getting robbed, so it was good. But for the most part, you know, in the area where I was living, it was calm because everybody knows each other, be able to come out and even practice or train or go in the outdoors, you know. But, yeah, there's certain places or a night that you wouldn't want to go out because, I mean, and the good thing about the place where I grew up in Guatemala is that if you're a thief, you know, they'll definitely do justice. So that helped the situation for nobody really, really feeling. But for the most part, you know, I was raised with good roots and respect, and I'm very thankful. I'm proud of my roots, but I thank everything that I have right now to this country, you know?
Wow. And then you moved by yourself to South Central and you were 15 years old, right?
Yes, Adam. Oh, you're doing your research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now.
Yep. I moved by myself right there. And then, I got to see that it wasn't not just movies, you know, not just the Tupac movies. It was actually reality. And for the most part, everybody wanted me to hang with them because I knew how to throw crazy kicks. But I was very, very fortunate enough that, I mean, I was able to survive that stage of my life. Moved to Las Vegas to pursue my MMA dream. And here I am, you know, became a professional fighter. And then now I have this opportunity of my life right now.
But when you're 15 years old and you're living by yourself, how are you paying for things? I mean, where are you living?
I was working at for people that know LA, I worked at the Slots and Swap Me for many years selling shoes. So I was good talking to people. So I became that. And then there was this guy that rented me out a little room, you know, when I was that age and I was able to pay for it. I thought at that time it was kind of cool because I was able to afford stuff and whatever. And then other people that I had, you know, that knew my situation, they helped me out. So they'll watch over me, you know, none of them were family members. And I'll go to school, work, and then pretty much, you know, take care of myself. So I had to grow up real fast.
Yeah.
But I always had on my mind that I had my background from karate and my martial arts. So when I turned 18 years old, I said, you know, Estes, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and go to Las Vegas and, you know, came over here and then started training MMA with rest in peace coach Sean Tompkins. He was my first MMA coach.
Wow, yeah, he was a great coach. Now you have 7 kids?
No, actually, it's about 21. I think somebody got the math the wrong way. So 3 times 7, 21, I believe. Yeah, but I am I'm a proud parent. And
of how many kids?
What's up?
How many kids do you have?
I got 3 baby girls and 2 boys.
Oh, you have 5 kids. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Nice. Now, how many baby mamas do you have?
1 baby's mama.
Oh, okay. Yep. Wow. All right. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. 1 baby mama. So I'm not part of the, what do you call that, statistics or whatever.
Yeah. You got 5 kids. Yeah. That's okay. So you got 5 kids, and then you're working at Syndicate?
No. Right now, because of the Real Water, the company, they've been with me since I was an amateur fighter. And they believed on me. Now, you know, they got behind me, and now the owner of Brent Jones, you know, have given me the opportunity to be a professional fighter full time now. Like I told you when I met with you, now I run an amateur MMA promotion as well.
What?
And he made me to be the vice president of fighter relations for that promotion, so I could oversee or have something to look forward after fighting and actually make a career and help other people, you know, building more fighters. So there's a lot going on. So I'm very blessed, you know. And then I want to leave the legacy for my kids, of course.
Yeah, no, I was. I looked at your YouTube page. There's all kind of things of you interviewing fighters. You're interviewing Ronda Rousey. You're interviewing people. You're fighting. Yeah. You got a whole career going, man. It's actually really cool to see.
I mean, I wanted to try different things. You know, my father was a professional singer. He only had 2nd grade of elementary, and he became a businessman back home. He got to own 3 different nightclubs in Guatemala. So he always told me that there was a special gift that we had in the family and that I could pretty much do whatever I want if I really put my mind to it, and it's my passion. So I kind of stuck to that. You know, unfortunately, he died when I was 11 years old, and I pretty much became an orphan after that. I never had a mom and never had a dad. So that's the only side of the story that not a lot of people know about Ruthless Rudy Morales, you know. That's basically, you know, how I grew up and how the nickname came about. And now I do what I do. Like I said, my game plan later on, like I said too, is to oversee that, like maybe interview in Spanish or English later on, you know, just different things than just fighting. Because like recently I got injured, and that kind of opened up my eyes, like that I could get injured at any given time. What am I going to do next, you know? But yeah. I've been trying to do stuff, like different stuff, interview, like I said, Ronda Rousey, you know, a lot of fighters, you know. Right now I had the pleasure to be talking to Frank Mir. I didn't want to spar with him because I was feeling kind of sluggish today. But, I mean, everything other than that was good.
I did see a thing, though, that you were doing jiu-jitsu and you submitted a guy that was 280 pounds.
Yeah. I think I just got lucky, even though I don't believe in luck, F-luck, success. But, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
awesome. We were in a jiu-jitsu competition, and then the guy was like, you know, he was talking smack. And I was like, all right, we'll compete right now, you know. And then, yeah, I got him in an arm bar, so that was pretty cool.
The guy was huge.
Yeah.
So you're fighting the World Series of Fighting, man. I know you're going to have a lot more people, fans, after this interview listening to what you've been through.
Everybody's got to believe to believe, because I'm the truth. You know, I'm a foreigner that came to the States with a dream, also with a harsh, you know, background. I'm as real as it gets, if you want it, but I feel humble. And, you know, I represent all the Latinos, or everybody that actually comes from the hood, if you want to call it that way. But what's special about this one, Adam, is that I just fought the 18-hour fight notice in Bellator. I showed up and I won, became the first Guatemalan in history to fight in Bellator cage and win, and now I'm gonna be the first Guatemalan in history to fight and win in World Series of Fighting.
Nice.
And eventually the UFC, and then there you go. Man. Like I said, I'm gonna put your logo on my banner.
Oh, thank you.
So that
man.
Way, you know, showing that support.
I appreciate that. We're gonna be the first MMA roasted on a banner. How cool
really?
Is that?
Yeah. Really, the first one, huh?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That'd be amazing. Just to show respect, you know, because like I said, I've been, you know, interviewing people just to put my name out there and help out, because, you know, I'm telling my people from back home, all the Guatemalans here in the States, I'm like, there's one. You know what I mean? I'm the first one. But I want everybody to follow, because right now MMA back home is like, it's too impossible. Only the Mexicans are doing, or, you know, from Peru or Argentina. And I'm like, nah, that's not true, man. I'm changing history right now. So this is history in the making for my hometown.
Well, I can't wait to watch this fight. I'm so excited for you, man. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
I'm so
happy. Part of my English, hopefully everybody understands me, there, you know?
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, it's better than Adam's, man.
Oh, man. Shoot. I'm trying not to curse no more, because when I hang around with John Wood, he's a dirty mouth.
That's very funny. That's funny. That's really funny. Well, yep. Man, listen, we all have your back. Where can people find you?
People could follow me on Twitter at Ruthless Morales, as well as on Instagram. And on Facebook will be Ruthless Rudy Morales. And my website is ruthlessmorales.com.
Well, thank
you. And I would appreciate all the support, you know, all the following from anybody from anywhere, any country or whatever. I'm just a humble person to try to, like, make something happen. Because everybody's got to go one day, you know what I mean? So I want to be like the Royce Gracie from Brazil to my hometown and to everybody else.
Well, you're on the right track.
Yes.
Good
thank
for
you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on our show, Rudy.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Adam. Stay ruthless. Stay real.
Bye.
All right, thank you to Rudy Morales and Kevin Lee. I like those guys.
Good guys.
You got to root for those guys.
Yeah.
Just tough dudes. So, but anyway, Jake, I saw you last week. I see Jake in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. Jake's brother's texting me, hey, want to hang out with Jake, blah, blah, blah. So I go find Jake. He's walking through the casino with his girlfriend and her sister, who's smoking hot as well. And I'm like, Jake, man, want to hang out? And he's like, who are you? What's going on?
Oh, here we go. I didn't say it. Come on.
Like, I'm like, yeah, we do a podcast together. Adam, hey, how's it going, man? He's like, I'll see you later, buddy. I got to go change. And then he's like, I'll come to your show tonight. Does he show up?
Cold-hearted.
No. No. So,
cold-hearted.
Now, are you whipped? I mean, it seems like you're a little.
I'm not. Listen, no. Trust me. I have a lot of shit going on right now. That was just, you caught me. I'm like, I can't, like, it's hard enough to walk through those casinos. You know how those people and the fans are?
Yeah.
Like, it's like I stop to talk to somebody and there's like 900 people want a picture. And you know what I mean? But I was like, I want to, first of all, I was hangry. I was hungry and I'm like.
You were hangry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I needed to change. And so it was just like, you caught me at a bad time.
Dude, it was ridiculous. I was like, one of my best friends, and it was like, he didn't even know me.
No,
anymore.
I was like, come up to the room and you're like, but I got to go with these guys.
Yeah. So then his brother goes, he'll be ready in 20 minutes. And you said, well, more like 2 hours. And then I was like, all right. And I walked away with like my head down.
Because he needs to eat for 2 hours.
I get it, man. You know, you were the hot chick. I understand the way things go, man.
No, I just need some me time.
You have no time.
Meditation in Vegas is very important.
So yeah. Speaking of the fights,
I didn't even want to. Honestly, I was like, not anyone really want to go to Vegas because I'm kind of Vegas out, kind of like peopled out. Like, that's the thing. So it's not it's not personal, Adam. You can't take it personal.
Now, did you gamble there?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Are you working on? Are you winning or losing?
I'm doing actually really well.
Really?
Yeah, I do more betting fights and sports, but
nice.
Yeah, no, blackjack's good though.
Okay. Right. I get concerned about his gambling.
I don't gamble at all.
You don't?
There's actually it's actually a lot of research, Adam, on betting on sports. It's a science.
It's a science.
So, yeah. It's not just a gamble.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying this conversation.
You're not at all?
No, I really am.
Really?
Yeah, he's schooling you right now.
He's schooling me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having a conversation. I'm not trying to be schooled.
Well, you are. Going to school.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Now, Marina, let's talk about you. So, who did you watch the fights with?
Let's talk about you.
Talk about me.
Who did you watch the fights with?
With Justin at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Justin, your boyfriend?
So he's not
on the boat anymore?
He's on the boat right now.
He left?
Yesterday.
Nice.
How long does he, like when he goes out to work, how long does he got to be away for?
3 weeks. Three weeks on the boat, 3 weeks home.
So she has 3 weeks to herself, just...
Is that good? Are you one of those people, like, I know for me, it's like, it's nice to get away. When you're in a relationship, you like, you know, you get a little time apart. Because otherwise you get annoyed.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm somebody who really likes my space. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, like, I enjoy, like, just having a phone to communicate. But it does get lonely because, like, you've been with somebody for, like, three years, you know?
Now, is it cheating with girls, too, or no? does that consent? Because I know... The fans don't know about. I don't know if you missed it, Jake. So while you were gone, Marina has admitted to having affairs with women before, where there was scissoring involved.
No, there was no scissoring involved. There was no scissoring.
Just making out and feeling up.
Oh my god.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine. You guys are so immature. Now, okay, the Donald Cerrone fight. Now, the Donald Cerrone Miles Jury. I didn't think it was gonna go. I think Miles Jury. I thought was gonna do better in this fight than he did. I think that first when he got. When Cerrone got that first takedown and put him in the... He was going for the...
Omoplata.
Omoplata. It seemed like that threw Jury off the rest of the fight. Like, he was... That was not his game plan, obviously. He wasn't trying to get taken down like
He's like a second-degree black belt, and he had his back taken for the whole first round.
Really?
Yeah.
Which... But he didn't get choked out.
No, he didn't. But, like, his stride... It took him a really long time to try and find his stride, and then he couldn't find it. By the third round, you could see it. And I love Miles Jury. I think he's... Regardless of the outcome of the fight, I think he is the future of that.
Do you think he got outclassed in this fight?
Yes, absolutely.
Jake,
you know, I mean, Cerrone's tough though. He's a consistent guy.
Absolutely,
like, he's got a hard style to fight. You know, he's tall, he's long. Like, you know, in me personally, I've been in there with guys that are taller. It's frustrating because they got a little bit of reach on you, and plus with their kicks, they can reach you from farther away. But Cerrone's just a hard guy to fight. You know, he moves forward. He's got a very aggressive style. So I think after that first round, it's like you put Jury on the, now he's trying to play catch up. He's down a round. So that, you know what I mean? It just kind of kept going downhill.
Now, do you think Cerrone's fighting in 2 weeks against Ben Henderson,
which is amazing.
I guess he's just getting in his RV and driving to Boston. That's going to be his training camp. I mean, he's basically, does that help him? Is that a good idea? I mean, he figures he already had a camp out of the way. He probably doesn't need that much. You know, he's not going to spar now, right, for the next 2 weeks?
I think that...
He'll spar.
Yeah, he'll definitely spar. But I think this is his lifestyle. He does crazy shit like this even when he's off, quote-unquote, off-season. Like, this is his comfort zone. Traveling and being on the road, this is what calms him. Like, this is what... Staying at home and being sedentary, or just sedentary in one general area, that is not... Cowboy Cerrone.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, but Ben Henderson's a tough guy.
And he's already beaten him twice, but Cowboy is now a completely different fighter. Completely different fighter.
So you think Cerrone wins this fight?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Jake?
That's a tough fight. Those factors are going to come into play. You know, he's just got out of a fight. How much is he going to be able to train in the next couple weeks? I don't know. I know Benson's going to be probably... He's gonna be hungry, obviously, coming off the loss to Rafael Dos Anjos. So it'll be an interesting fight.
Does Benson get insulted by that in a way? Like, you think you could fight me on 2 weeks' notice? Is that sort of? I mean,
we'll
I know,
see in the fight.
I know he's a Jesus freak and he's a religious
guy. I guess we'll
guy.
See in the fight.
I mean, does that help? I'm trying to think. Like, I remember Chris Lieben fought. He fought Akiyama, and I think it was Aaron Simpson on like a week out and won both of them. But then there have been other guys that have taken, like, and I know that what's-his-name does it all the time now. That who's that black fighter that, like, was in the Army on The Ultimate Fighter? Who's that guy? He fights, like, six times
Colton?
A year. No, a black guy. He was on The Ultimate Fighter. He was in the Army. Who am I talking about? DJ? Not even listening. Great. So there's another guy. Forgot the guy's name, but there's a guy who he has, like, I voted him most likely to, like, miss legs day at the gym. There's a guy that, like, fights all the time. I forgot the guy. That's someone with the, whatever. Does that help or hurt you? Take a fight with 2 weeks' notice against Ben Henderson?
I don't know.
Everybody operates differently. You know what I mean? It's like everyone operates on a different wavelength.
Who's that guy that takes that fight, fought six times last year, that black guy with the skinny legs that, like, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I voted him, whatever. You know, people text me, tweet me the answer. What were you saying, Jake?
Oh, I was saying everyone's different, though. You know what I mean? Cerrone, he likes to just be active, and that's maybe a little too active, but that's his lifestyle.
Well, I remember that one year he fought Nate Diaz when he lost, but I think it was his fifth fight that year, and he got completely burned out at that point. But I think... You know, it's only the second fight of the year, so maybe he's not going to get,
fight in 2 weeks, three weeks into the year.
He's made it his lifestyle. This whole past year, like, this is his sixth fight in a 365-day period. Like, this is his lifestyle. He has committed to this. I think that if he keeps going at this pace, he could fight another four times if he wanted to. Shit, like, he's just...
Yeah, but the level of opposition is going
to
go up.
Well, you also start to question, you know, why he's fighting. Is he fighting for a world title? Is he fighting for a paycheck? That's two completely different reasons. You know, obviously, if he beats Benson Henderson, he's probably going to fight for the title. But, you know, we'll see.
And you, what are you fighting for?
The world title.
World title.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank God. All right. Now,
what do you think? I'm this China doll? Like, I'm just going
to... No, I don't. I don't. I don't. I want... Dude, Jake, there'd be nothing happier other than me winning a world title. No, there's nothing happier than to watch you get a world title. Trust me, man. I would cry. I would honestly cry if you won a world title.
From pure joy.
From pure joy. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Awesome. I'd be tears of joy. And you too, Marina.
I would shed a tear.
I'd be happy if you won a world title as well. Now, speaking of anything, any news on your last week? You broke news that maybe there was you fighting in the summer? Anything?
In the summer?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm going to Bellator January 16th. To watch and hopefully meet Scott Coker and stuff, but
so is that a hint?
I don't know.
Jesus.
To be continued. Let's just keep identifying just me as tough. Marina with Tugboat Boy.
Okay, all right. Now Hector Lombard, that fight, that was a weird fight. It looked like Josh Berkman, who I remember Gerald Harris said that Berkman hit him harder than anybody's ever hit him. Berkman hits really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hector was surprised at not only how hard he hit, but how he could take a punch, because he was hitting Berkman straight. I mean, Berkman had his hands down, inviting Hector to punch him, and Hector was a little bit gun shy. It seemed like he was winning the fight, but he was like, you know what? Let's just get this win. This guy's fucking, this white boy is crazy right now, and I'm happy Hector got the win. He didn't look like the invincible Hector that some people already. I mean, are expectations too high for Hector, or was Josh too awkward of a fighter? Or was it a combination of both?
It's always a combination of. I mean, Berkman, he's a tough cat. He hits hard. He can hang in there with the best.
You were training with him?
He was in the UFC for a while too.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when he was, you know, first on the Ultimate Fighter is kind of when I first started, you know, paying a lot more attention to the UFC and started training more. But no, it is. It's kind of an awkward fight. And plus, you know, Lombard, he's just a move forward guy throwing heavies. I mean, it's one of those things. He got a tough guy, and but yeah, he got the win.
But it seemed like he was like in a way didn't really get it. I know he got up for the fight. It was a hard weight cut for him. It looked like it at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of those things. If he loses, he's got so much more to lose than to win. Yeah. If he wins, he beats a guy that wasn't even in the World Series of Fight. Wasn't in the UFC. I mean, they brought in a guy just to fight him. And if he loses, fuck, he's down, way down. So I was happy. Now Woodley versus Gastelum. I know you fought Kelvin. I know you and Woodley, you know, have had some beef on Twitter here and there. What's your opinion of that fight?
We haven't had any beef.
Oh, okay, I'm making that up. Okay, no, what's your beef on Woodley versus Gastelum?
That's a great fight. I trained with Woodley quite a bit, years ago. But we wrestled in Missouri. But that's a great fight. You know, I do. I mean. It's hard because, you know, we still haven't really seen how good Kelvin is. You know what I mean? We had a one round fight,
right?
So it's like, you know, it'd be better to see him in the later rounds, see how well he does.
So you being this big sports bettor now that you talked about earlier, if you had to bet on that fight, who would it be?
It's a tough one, man. I'm leaning towards Gastelum. I am. It'll be a good fight though. They're both good wrestlers. They're both tough. And Gastelum, he's a young kid. He's got that just that dumb tough. You know that.
Yeah,
I don't care that kind of thing going. So
he does. He has this thing of like he doesn't care. I heard in training like the guys get the better of him, but a lot of guys in training.
Oh yeah, I heard the same thing. You know, from Chael. Chael's a good friend of mine. It's like. He's not the best guy in the room, but he
just has that like Mexican pride. I'm just gonna throw as hard as I can. Don't even care if I get hit. You know, he has that like you said when you were 20 years old and you had that just fucking go crazy. He is like 22 years old right now. I mean, he's young.
Yeah, well, and you kind of have that. You just don't care. You just go. But at the same time, it's like competition's a lot different now than it did when I was 20. So
yeah. All right. So and then. Now, did you guys see what's his name do a backflip, Sean Jordan, after he won?
So the heavyweight?
Yeah.
I did not.
He did a backflip, which I think is a bad idea. I mean, eventually.
Did he land on his feet?
He does it every time he
then
wins.
And it was a great idea.
Oh, God. you're just the woman. You just love to.
Kick me out.
Counteract.
I got to bring it up because I actually gift it. For UFC on Fox's Twitter account.
Kick me out. If you really
why am I kicking you out? I like having you here. But of course, I'm just saying, it just seems like a 265-pound guy doing a backflip.
It's impressive.
It's impressive, but if he fucks it up, He breaks his ankle. He does. He doesn't. But it seems like he can. Yeah.
But he didn't.
Blow your knee out.
Blow your knee out. Would you do that if you were to?
How much? No, I'm just saying the rewards, the risk versus reward. It's like
yeah, exactly.
How much does he weigh?
He's not a fucking mascot.
He believes in his backflip.
Look right here. He believes in his backflip. Yeah, so we're watching it right now.
Whoa!
No, it's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's really cool. He got the knockout and then a backflip.
Like bullfrog.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Oh my God, jeez. He does.
But I remember I was talking to Kevin Randleman, who came to my show this week. We have to get him back in the podcast, by the way. He was the best. Came to the show, and he used to hop over. He would hop over the ropes, jump over the ropes. And Dana White said to him, if you ever do that again, I'm fucking cutting you. Because he hurt himself doing it. It just seems like that's just a bad idea. What if there's blood on it and he slips and I don't know.
It's like the NFL kickers who celebrate and jump and then they break their hand.
Yeah. But Marina thinks it's a good idea. You would do a backflip?
If I believed in my backflip, I would totally do a fucking backflip.
Well, do it on a trampoline or something.
I would do it on there, too.
Oh, God.
Someone's going to get it injured eventually.
Yeah, I've done a couple backflips after fights. So.
Really?
Yeah.
High five.
When was this?
I did one after I fought Mike Pyle.
You could do a backflip?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Do one right now.
I used to. I could.
We can't do that.
So you knocked out Mike Pyle in like what? Like 20 seconds, right?
No, second round.
Second round, yeah. You knock him out and then you do a backflip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. People in Omaha going crazy?
I used to dive at him. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I used to dive.
Really?
Competitively, yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Like high diving?
Yeah.
How competitive? Yeah. Like in college or?
Yeah, well, I dove all through high school and I did like some junior Olympic meets, but I never competed in college.
I had no idea. Did you know about this?
I had no idea.
We got to track down the pictures with him and
Marina
the
used
up.
To muff dive. She used to, come on,
really?
It was a joke. Really? Come on. All right.
Hold on. Where are the pictures of the Speedos?
They're not coming out.
Yeah, we're putting that right up there.
We got to do that. We got to frame that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's really funny. Now,
tech Joe. Get that throwback?
So other two fights.
Looks like The Rock when he tweeted the fanny pack picture. You got to do it.
That was great.
Do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So Paul Felder, who beat Danny Castillo, that kid looks really. He's 8-0 now, 9-0.
He's tough.
He has those crazy kicks that I've. It's got to be hard to fight those guys. Those like Wonder Boy Thompson type guys. Those guys with they're doing this kind of taekwondo kicks basically and spinning back shit. That was rough to watch. That was rough.
Spinning back fists?
Yeah, he knocked him out with a spinning back fist, yeah.
Jeez, I didn't see that coming.
No, I actually texted him afterwards. And he texted me back. He goes, those fucking spinning back shit. I go, I try to cheer him up. I go, Danny, I know there's, because he runs a yoga studio with like all these like 30-year-old cougars. So I say, I know there's a bunch of, upset cougars right now in Sacramento if you need me to cheer him up. And he's like, oh, thanks for making me laugh. This is cool. That's what I should do. I should just be backstage. If people lose, I'll tell him a joke.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think I'd be good at that.
I think you'd be great. That's really? Like the best therapy.
It is, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, God. She's like fucking that girl that holds the football. That like
Lucy.
You go to kick it and then she pulls it away and just fucking laughs at you. That's what this podcast
is. It's because your instant reaction is just like complete deflation.
I get excited about, really? That's great. And then no, nothing. That's Marina Lucy Shafir.
I like that nickname better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Now, did you see Steven Seagal at the fights?
Did you see his hair?
I didn't see him. I saw him like there. I didn't see him like.
What is he telling Daniel Cormier? What do you think he's telling Daniel Cormier?
I have no idea. I've never had a conversation with him before.
Because I don't know if you watched The Embedded. He kicked everyone out of the gym at Cormier's training camp and said, I have some secret moves to tell you. And he goes, you know what happens when people know these secret moves.
I told him. I said that it was like his famous salsa.
I mean.
His secret salsa recipe.
I said it was how to eat a cake with no hands. I mean, seriously, what are these secret moves?
You got me. I'm not. I've never. I don't know. I'm not. I can't make a judgment. I'm not even really a fan of Steven Seagal. Oh. So.
His tiger crane.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell he called
now,
it.
Now, do you see the Rodrigo Dam Evan Dunham fight?
I did.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched it. So, Dunham was doing really well.
I think I saw the highlights of this.
Dunham was winning the fight. Dam was a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but kept the whole fight standing, which I never understand that. But then in the third round.
Wait, Rodrigo kept it? Yeah.
Yeah, kept it standing the whole time.
Yeah.
The guy's a secondary, supposedly this amazing black belt, which I believe. But at the end of the third, he starts punching himself. to show, he goes, like, come on, let's fight. And he hit himself like 10 times in the face, which I said he actually landed more punches on himself than he had done him. But
yeah.
Now, why would you ever start punching yourself in a fight?
No, Adam.
What if they counted that as strikes?
They should have. They should have actually had like punches to himself as the stats. Like, why are people punching themselves in fights? Marina?
I don't know. I think, you know, when Nate Diaz or when Nick Diaz was fighting George,
yeah,
did he do one of those? Like he did like a couple, like come on, motherfucker, like
yeah, you start punching.
It's like, yeah, it's just a taunt.
What if ten times?
I don't know.
What if you knock yourself out? I mean, what if you just start? I mean, couldn't you knock yourself out?
That's like fight suicide.
Yeah. Like, have you ever punched yourself in a fight?
Kill myself.
In a fight? No.
Yeah, never punched yourself in a fight.
No.
Mm-hmm. In sparring.
No.
I do it before I fight to like loosen my jaw.
Yeah, oh, that's
like,
another thing. Josh Barnett's gonna stop hitting your whole team.
He's never hit me.
I love Josh Barnett, but he walks out with Shayna Baszler and Jessamyn Duke and then Colleen, and he smacks you guys in the face. And I guess to get you pumped up, but he's a 280-pound guy smacking a 145-pound girl. It's pretty damn hard. I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Have you ever talked to Shayna about this?
It's just, he's been her coach for like almost 15 years.
Yeah.
And
he always smacks people in the face?
Just, yeah, I guess that.
I understand why he would do it, and I understand to get, but I get nervous.
Somebody should slap you before you go on to one of your shows.
No,
see if you feel refreshed.
I don't think I would. I don't want Josh Barnett smacking me ever, actually. I don't want people smacking me.
It's kind of big old mitts, right? Just
yeah, boom.
It's kind of like, oh my God, there's your skit for another MMA video.
What?
People have Josh Barnett come in, slap you in the face, and then you go on to do like
everybody before work. People go to work. The dentist comes. Barnett stands in the back and just smacks you in the face.
It's like the office linebacker.
The porn star. He just smacks everybody. You had random.
God, I wish you could slap the bimbo who rear-ended my car before I came.
That happened today.
Yesterday before I went to the collision place.
So all right, Conor McGregor is getting a title shot if he wins over Dennis Seaver,
which he will.
And they're saying it's 90,000 seats in Ireland. Are there even 90,000 people in Ireland? Like that's a lot of people.
Jesus.
Did you feel it last time?
No, I don't. No, it's a different place.
That was in England.
Yeah,
oh, really?
So, I mean, the fact that they're announcing that he wins, Dennis Seaver's ranked what? 11, 12?
He's top 10.
He's top 10?
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's ninth right now.
Shouldn't Frankie Edgar get this? I mean, Edgar beat Cub Swanson.
Yeah.
Who
was up there?
Who was right there? Yeah. Edgar, I mean, beat BJ Penn, but that was, you know, that was whatever. But it's not whatever, but I don't think BJ was ranked as high. Yeah, he was coming down.
The UFC is a business, and he sells tickets. He wins this fight. He fights for a world title, and he brings a whole country behind him. So
in a soccer arena.
No, yeah, I understand that, but it's also a sport, right? If you're going to call it a sport, I mean,
but
just
it's a
because.
Sport second.
Yeah, but just because, like, let's say the Giants would attract more fans than the Ravens, which I might even know if that's correct. You don't just put them in the Super Bowl with, you know, like if you're going to have rankings 1 to 10, then the guy who was ranked second, if he beats the number one guy, should be get the fight. I mean, right? Not the guy who beats the number nine guy because he's from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, come on. No?
He's new. He's new blood.
I agree with that. I think that would be a great fight. And like it would be an honest fight within the division.
I know it's happened already. You can make the argument that they've already fought, but still, I mean, that's I don't know.
Hold on.
We talking about Frankie?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. The other fight that got announced is Dos Anjos getting a title shot against Pettis. Mm. I know you train with Dos Anjos. How do you see that fight going?
It's a great fight. It is. You know, Dos Anjos. He's really came a long way in the last 3 years. I mean, just. You look at him, I don't know if you remember when he fought Jeremy Stevens,
mm-hmm.
and he got knocked out, and he just really, I think he really committed himself, you know, so he's one of those guys who does train like 3 times a day.
And do you spar with him?
Yeah, we trained together the last couple years, but he's super tough, his striking's came a long way. I know he works a lot with Rafael Cordero, and his wrestling's gotten a lot better, so he's just one of those guys who's always three times a day.
But he also leapfrogged Khabib, who beat him.
Isn't Khabib hurt?
According to Khabib, he should get the title shot.
But he just fought.
He wants the title shot, and then he wants the announcement, and then he wants to rehab.
Oh, really?
And then fight. Yeah. Oh, that's definitely what's happening.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
you can't do that. You have that's where it's a, you know, a sport, and you always have to be fucking ready. If you want the opportunity and you're not ready, then it's not your opportunity.
And Dana came out and said the title's not going anywhere, whether it's with one or the other. He's going to get a title.
I think Khabib beats Pettis. I do.
It's all about timing.
You know I think Khabib beats everybody in the division. I don't think anyone could stop his wrestling. I hate that, you know?
No, he is. He's good.
The guy wrestled with bears. I mean, it's like Ronda Rousey growing up with arm bars by her mom. This guy had, literally, if you look at that video, it's not just one bear. It's a couple bears. Like, they kept bringing back that bear. I mean, how do you go up against a 7-year-old that fights bears? That's insane. And that's not the only reason why he's going to win, but it's just, like, Khabib's never lost a minute of a fight.
There's also, you know, I thought Melendez was going to be, he had a good chance of beating Pettis. And
yeah, me too.
Pettis, you know, he surprised us all.
But that first round, though, Melendez was killing him.
Killing him?
Not killing him. Okay, but he was winning. He won the first round.
He had a great game plan.
He got tagged, too, a few times, though.
He did. He ate him, but he didn't, that's Gilbert's attitude. He doesn't give a shit. And he just kept pressing forward, and he killed Anthony Pettis' game plan. You think Anthony Pettis was thinking his back was going to be on the cage for the whole first round? No.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that. And he just let up. That's what happened.
That's true.
He's one of those guys that he continues to impress me, though. Like, when he stopped Cerrone with body kick, like, he keeps, you know, proving me wrong. Like, I feel like I have guys like, oh, this guy can get him. And he wins. He keeps,
you're right. John Jones is like
keeps
that.
Doing well.
Now, as far as girl, I know you have a girlfriend now. Are you in love? Is this the one?
No, Adam. This is not the place to talk about my girlfriend. But she's great. She's awesome.
Nice. All right. Cool. So, well, listen. All right. Well, this is. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Thank you, Jake Ellenberger. Thank you, Marina Shafir. Thank you, DJ Strope. I'm Adam Hunter. You can find us MMA Roasted. You can find me at adamhunter.com. Where can people find you, Marina?
At Marina Shafir everywhere.
Yes. And where can people find you?
Ellenberger MMA on Twitter or Instagram.
Yes. So
don't miss UFC 184 at Staples Center.
Don't miss
fighting Josh Koscheck.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great week.